just a little bit of time in Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 7. The elders have chosen the topics for the singing nights, and for this month, the preeminence of God was chosen. And so I really don't have a lot to say that wasn't already said by the verses we read, but just to highlight some of the things that we talked about. One of the key points that is pointed out in Colossians there is that all things were created through Christ, and that He shared in that process, it reemphasizes that He is God and shares in that process. The word preeminence is not a word we use very often, but it has the idea or connotation of being the highest that you can attain to. It is the top. It is the foremost. To be preeminent is to be at the very top. And that's where we find Jesus with God. In John 1, as we're probably familiar as we've been reading through it as a congregation, the part that stood out to me as we were reading through it, in Him was life. And then later it says He has glory as from the Father. In Hebrews 1, when we read there, some of the phrases that stood out is that Christ was the radiance of the glory of God, and He upholds the universe with His word. So as you can see, just these attributes that the apostles and early disciples wrote much more fluently and with much more wisdom than I could share, really help us see the picture of Christ as God, as creator, as the sustainer of life, holding the universe together. And then finally, in Revelation, the picture that we have painted of Christ there is when no one else was found worthy, that no one could fulfill God's purpose. As John looked there, everyone was lacking. But wait, here's the Lamb, here's the Lion of Judah, who's able to open the seal. And as we read there, you know, just this list of characteristics, glory, honor, blessings, all of the things that were listed there, Christ is worthy of those things. And so, as part of our custom here, we offer an invitation. So that is who we worship. That's the God that we worship. So I want to look at a couple of passages in Hebrews to kind of contrast that. We understand who God is. But sometimes it doesn't strike me as it should, just how remarkable it is that Christ, being God, having those attributes, being the radiance of the glory of God, was willing to do what He did for us. So if you'd like, turn to Hebrews 4. And we'll look at two passages in Hebrews. I'm just going to read them both, and then we'll spend just a second talking about them. First one is Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then briefly, Hebrews 7, 23 through 28. This is discussing the new covenant and its ability to supersede and replace in every aspect the old covenant. And especially replace the role of the high priest that was offering sacrifices on behalf of the people. In verse 23, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. So both of these passages point to the idea that we have an intercessor that goes before God on our behalf, who was willing to take on our sins. As we fought against God and incurred His wrath, we have God Himself coming to take that wrath upon Himself and freeing us from the condemnation that we face. But that God, as we looked at today and as we sung in some of our songs, that God is the creator of the universe. He's the sustainer of our lives. He's worthy of all the glory that we could offer. And yet, here He is, we see Him painted, interceding on our behalf before God, willing to sacrifice Himself. So it kind of struck me as we were going through this that it's an amazing thought to think that the God of heaven would bend down to take on our sins and to offer Himself in our place. When we read just of all of the praise and glory and honor and majesty that He deserves, that He was willing to come down to our level, even past that, to die the death of a criminal so that we could be saved. So that's all I have for this evening. If you think that's remarkable, if you're interested in hearing more, we'd be glad to speak with you about our Savior. If there are any that have any needs, that sometimes we don't realize just who the God it is that we serve. Sometimes we forget just how powerful and how honorable He is, how worthy of our praise. And we slip back into our former lives of sin. If you need any help, encouragement, if anything that we can do to help you, whether that be to repent or to come back to God, we'd be glad to help at this time. So if you'd like to stand, Dan will lead us in the invitation.